Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here, sharing with you today. Just a fantastic woman. I just am so thrilled to have met Lori and have the opportunity to share her with all of you. Today, we are chatting with Lori Leah Anna Roth. She is often called the psychic therapist. She's a licensed marriage family therapist, sound energy light vibrational healer, hypnotherapist, workshop facilitator, musician, composer, author, comedic performer, and radio show host and hand reader. I love it. I love it all. I love it all. Lori holds two master's degrees in recreation therapy and counseling psychology, and a music teaching credential. She has worked in public schools, diverse community social services agencies, and has an over 30 years experience in private practice. Lori, I just have to say thank you so much. I am so honored to have you on my show today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I would love you to share with the audience a bit of your history and how you came to be on the path that you're on and the career that you're in.
Well, it's not been a straight line, I'll tell you that. And in fact, like I know you have this question, why am I so happy? Well, the question that used to motivated my life was, what's going on here, and how do you get out of suffering? So, the one thing that really helped me was my parents were Jewish atheists, and I was kind of a mystic, so it really wasn't a fit. And their model was based on fear, but they really wanted love. So it was, they believed there was only this rational three-dimensional world, and if it wasn't rational, it was crazy. But they weren't really rational. They said things like, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about, which a lot of parents said in those days. And of course, that didn't make sense because if I was crying, I had something to cry about. So it was a way to shut off the feelings. Now, a lot of people still have gone through a different kind of parenting that does the same things to you. So I wanted to find a way out of the suffering. That was one of the things that really guided me in my 20s. But when I was even younger, I was given, was given a test, and then I got in the beginning of this musical class, and I was given an instrument, and I started playing the flute, and then I got really good at it fast, and I got into borough-wide orchestras. I grew up in New York City and different things. And being in the center of the sound, there weren't great record players or sound systems in those days. At least we didn't have one, nobody did. But being in the center of the sound of an orchestra was like ecstasy for me. So originally I'd wanted to be a musician. And then that's where I developed. So I went to music school, studied the flute, did all that stuff. But in those days actually there were no musicians. There were no females in symphony orchestras. So I played with a lot of other different groups and did all kinds of things. And then I don't know, I also worked in the schools, and oh, here's an interesting thing is so I worked in the schools, and I was also starting a music program, and my music program was very successful because I decided the kids need to have fun. If I ran around between five schools. They didn't give me a classroom. I had to carry everything, and I started a beginning band, and I taught from K to. They were kind of taking advantage of me. But when my classes were really successful, instead of hiring me full time, they wanted to hire another music teacher. So my band, in one of the schools, I had 50 beginning band members. They were trumpet players, and the secretaries said, if you, I don't know, we wonder how you stand it because we have to leave the building when you come in. And eventually I couldn't stand it either. So when they didn't hire me full time, I left the school district and went traveling to Mexico. And it was in Mexico that I had the this vision of doing musical sound and light healing.
Oh.
But when I came back, I went to study it, there was no such thing. And what I had seen was sound and light and vibrations healing people. Because, you know, like everything, if you look at the physics now, then people understand everything is vibration.
Yes.
Things can be a particle or a wave. And sound and light, both, we're composed of sound and light, magnetic fields and electrical energy. So this is one of the... So I had this vision of it way back. This was in the 70s, way before anybody was really doing it. And then I started to have my gifts open up in the 90s, and I went through a period of spontaneous initiations. I had started meditating in the 70s, and when you meditate, it opens up parts of your brain that people who don't meditate don't have opened. It's actually, they've done experiments on it, on the brain. And so as these perceptions and abilities opened, I began to use them in my work. But actually, things kind of happened. Sometimes something would happen, like I had begun when I was in my 20s and I was suffering, I used to draw. You know, creativity is a great way to express yourself, and then you'll see things in your own drawing that kind of guide you.
Yes.
Do you ever do anything like that?
Beautiful. Yes, yes. I really believe that creativity is just a beautiful way to connect with source and even manifest, because we're so happy when we're creating, you know, whatever it is, because we all have different interests. I love that. I think it's a great tool.
It is a great tool, and people actually, when I started using that creativity in therapy, so I wanted to do a form of that kind of healing, but there really wasn't a way, so that's how it became a recreation therapy. I thought, well, I'll do creative arts and bring it in. And so that's why my path went through a variety of things. But at one point in my 20s, when I was drawing, I went to this in Berkeley, I went to this art store, and I had to wait online to get some paper, and this very handsome man with dark black hair got next to me in line, and he said, "I'm in a big hurry. If you let me in front of you, I'll read your hands."
Oh.
Well, I didn't really believe in hand reading or anything yet. And but he was very handsome, and I thought, you know, I'm waiting online, why not? So I said, okay. And he read my hands, and he told me these things that I don't know anybody would know, you know, even about my parents and about my kind of mind and all kinds of things, and my imagination. And I was, like, stunned. So I went down the block and looked for all the hand-reading books I could find. And they were, like, written in the 1600s. There was only two, and they weren't very good. There was a lot of bookstores in Berkeley on Telegraph Avenue in those days, but nobody had anything about hand-reading. So now there's tons of books out.
Oh.
So anyway, I read those books, studied my hands, and, you know, got what I could. But some of them were sexist and, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty old
fashioned.
That is
so fun. I personally don't know much about hand reading. I've just had one experience, and it was so fun. It was during a tour in New Zealand. I was with a girlfriend, and someone on the tour, she was an airline stewardess that also did palm readings. And she was reading people's palms, and after a few days I said, "Well, would you like to read mine?" And she said, "Oh, Paula, I've been dying to read yours." And it was so fun. Oh my gosh. She knew how many children I have. It was amazing. I was so intrigued.
Yeah, because it's a map. And so like I didn't take it very seriously, and I never thought of myself as intuitive or psychic or anything. And then I went to Mexico. I was traveling around, and people said, "Are you an American?" And in those days, you don't want to be, like, associated with America too much. So I said, "Well, my father was Hungarian." So I said, "Well, I'm Hungarian." They said, "Oh, can you read palms?" And I had just read those books, so I knew a little bit. So I said, "Oh, okay, you know," but don't take this too seriously. But what would happen is I would read the palms, and I would get information. If I didn't know what something was, I'd put my finger on and just say, "What does this mean?" or "What is that?" And I would get answers, and they loved it. And so actually later on, I used hand reading as a way to develop my intuition and my abilities, and I started teaching it later on. And more as a way of helping people open up, see things in them, I would meditate with them and teach them how to use perceptions and how to, as an avenue of opening up and trusting your intuition, as well as there are actually things on the palm that are showing you how your soul, it's a soul map, just like astrology is a soul map. And people would sometimes say to me, oh, that's what my astrologer said.
That is amazing. And so with learning to read these maps on their hands, it would also enhance your abilities to, you know, pick up on other things?
Yeah, it did. In fact, one day I had a woman who was scheduled to come in for a hand reading session, and she said, I can't come in, I'm sick, and you do it by phone. Well, she didn't send me, you know, we didn't have the internet yet. So I said, I'll give it my best. So we did it by phone, and she had an illness, and I saw all these things that, like, I kept on seeing the color apricots. I said, I think apricots will help you in the color. She said, oh, I love that color. And I told her all these things, and I got a lot of information. And I realized the hands are a way into the energy field and the Akashic records, and it's all open as you open up to that awareness. And then when I became a therapist, I kind of kept it hidden. And then I was just a beginning therapist, and I was at a conference, and my roommate was a seasoned therapist, was a family therapist, and we were talking about each other, and I told her I read hands, and she asked me to read hers. And then I read her husband's, and then she said, I want to send you clients because there's something you do that I don't know what it is, but it takes people through their blocks. So I used to go to her office and I'd read hands. This was when I was in that period of initiations in the 90s, and I would see people's answers. All kinds of wild things happen.
That is fascinating. How fun, Lori.
It was very fun. It's like whatever was needed. I didn't control it. Like, you know, whatever was needed, spirit would bring through.
Yes, yes. So with talking about sound and energy, vibration, healing, for those out there that really have no idea what that is, what would you say to them? What is a sound energy vibrational healer?
Well, it's every emotion and every thought has a vibration. Like, even matter has a vibration, right? It's all vibrating. So it's the ones that make you feel happier, not using drugs, of course, but, I mean, even the emotions that are joyful, connected to source, are higher, and the ones that are depressed, sad, angry, are of a lower frequency, and they're denser. And that's why, you know, they've linked, like, repressed emotions stay in your body, and it's an energy. And the body is actually, you know, composed of this energy system, which now people call the chakra system. And there's many chakras. And there's chakras inside your body, outside your body, in your field. So we're all really composed of energy, and we're more energy than we're even in our body. We're beyond our body. We have energy from, I didn't believe in past lives, but then I started getting all my past lives, so then I had to go through it. Rather transformative change, which was highly scary.
Yes.
But then when you start to know yourself larger, and you see, you experience the self in form that also has consciousness beyond form, it's all energy, you know. It's all, like when people say bad vibrations, you know that song, good vibrations, bad vibrations. You walk into a room and everybody's angry, you feel it.
Yes. Myself, you know, I am so intrigued and just fascinated, and just, I'm very passionate with what you're talking about, the vibration levels. You know, when we live in that lower vibration of anger, jealousy, resentment, that's what we actually create more of. But when we live in the higher vibrations, love and compassion, integrity, oh my gosh, what that opens up. It's all so fascinating, isn't it, Lori?
Yeah, that is so true, you know, and at any moment, you have a choice.
Yes,
change it. And that's what most people don't realize. I mean, sometimes you have to go and heal the old stuff because it's stuck in there, mm-hmm. and when you're healing it, it's got to come to the surface. And it's not a lot of fun, but then you, wherever there was denser matter or illness even, as you bring in a higher frequency and love, it can heal.
Yes, I love it, Lori. I love it, my energy sister. Oh, uh-huh. It's fantastic. Well, listen, I'm afraid we have to pop out for a break. So everyone, Lori and I will be right back. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Welcome back. I am chatting today with Lori, and we were just talking about our vibration levels and how, you know, the energy we create, other people feel it. We can make a difference with that. And with that, Lori, I would love to jump into the topic of what's happening now energetically. What is going on with the planet, the vibration shift that we are in? It, you know, we hear it from so many people, and I personally really believe it and believe for each of us, our energy makes a difference. What do you have to share on that topic, Lori?
Well, I agree. Our energy really makes a difference because how you think is how you feel, and how and what's happening around you. You have choices at every moment. And
yes.
I think what's happening is the vibration of the planet has already gone up quite a bit. It's been measured by NASA. And so the planet is now actually moving into what people call 5D. Now, when I went through my initiation, I saw through all these different dimensions. They're all interwoven inside of each other. So 5D is fifth, 5D means fifth dimension. So as the planet is moving into that, the denser stuff, just like I said earlier on, you know, when you go to therapy, wherever you've repressed old emotions, they come up. So, like, take what's going on with Trump. So what's he doing? He's bringing up all the negativity and all the lies, right? He's lies and all the people that want to still stay in that menu.
Yes.
They're all kind of coming to the surface.
Yes.
So it's like everything, the old system, I mean, in a certain way, he's doing good because he's destroying the Republican Party.
But
because the two-party system is really not working for us people, because it seems like it's more controlled by the big businesses and by the banks. You know, it's very corrupt. Maybe not everybody, but over, I would say, 60 to 80% of it is corrupt. So
yes. So what can we do as the planet with the energy, because all this basically ugliness is coming up?
Well, the key is
we're being pulled that we want to help them release from that.
Well, everybody has a choice. So the key for anybody who's listening is to know, first of all, that no matter what's, and I worked with the most abused of the abused for a long time before they even had post-traumatic stress things, and was able to help them. And there is always a choice. The choice is to choose love or not. And so the more you choose love, the higher your vibration. And 5D is really this experience of living in the ascended heart, the true heart of love. And
yes,
many of us are going to open up our hearts, and many people's kundalini are going to go up. And when the kundalini spontaneously goes, people have a kundalini awakening, all kinds of things change, and it's scary. So it's really good to talk about what happens a little bit when these things happen. So the key is to not buy into what's it looking like, but buy into what we want to make of this world. Are we going to choose to create, you know, there's so many, especially, you know, millennials and all my, who really care about the planet, and they're working to create a better good, they're working for sustainability. So people have these purposes that they're guided to come here for and do. And the more you live that on your purpose, and the more you choose your thoughts, like in a situation, you could have the thought, this is never going to work, which was like my parents. Oh, nothing's ever going to change here. Well, it's changing, you know?
Yes.
Look at all the, I mean, for me, I remember one day seeing a book about the soul in the airport. I thought, wow. And there was one about past lives right in the popular section, you know, and all this stuff was hidden before. So as the vibration goes up, what happens is you see through what was hidden, and it's coming up, all the, you know, all the lies, all the embezzlements, all the different things going on. And people have the choice to, like, wake up, pull your head out of the sand and look around and make a choice, or to just stay numb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of go through it. And I think that it's better to make the choice to be fully alive because of the beauty and the love and the joy that this planet can be, and that's what the thing is to focus on.
Yes.
And personally, you know, personally, it's challenging. Like when people go through breakups, they think of every breakup, oh, and all their losses hit, you know, like, oh, my father left me when I was 7 and this and that. So they start to go into that other way of thinking of abandonment. But just knowing that all those thoughts were created at different time frames, and they aren't true, that you'll always be abandonment. You can always be abandoned. You can change, because the real abandonment is from source.
Mm-hmm.
When we're separated from source, that's where all the healing is there. Because when I work with all these abused people who were so abused, I would never have survived that childhood. A lot of them, I knew I would have just died and left. They all went through a spiritual awakening, and that was all of why they healed.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because really, would you say when we make the choice to be sad, angry, resentful, fearful, we're really putting up a wall between our connection with Source. We're not letting it in. But if we make the choice to focus our thoughts in a positive way, I have a sign on my office door that says, if I choose to be happy, no one can stop me. And I believe that so much. We
but
all
I'm not
have
saying to deny
negatives, but it's what we focus on, the positive or the negative in our life.
Yes, but at the same time, there is also the feelings that you've had that you maybe, like when I said, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about.
Mm-hmm.
So like I suppressed my feelings. Well, a lot of people have had to suppress their feelings, especially, you know, people in the military or people who were in traumatic childhoods or people who were in alcoholic systems or people who went through the juvenile system for some reason or whatever. People who were abandoned, that's
yes.
a real pain. And that has to be healed. And when it's healed, you feel it.
And
when you come to let the experience come through you. So that's coming up for a lot of people. That's why this anger is surfacing, because these feelings have been denied. But when it comes up and surfaces, it's not really based, it's not coming from the present moment so much as it was somewhere else. And a lot of times things get triggered. So The thing is to know how to work with the old emotions that were compressed and to let them expel, because that is one of the things that does happen now. As the light goes up, all the repressed stuff or all the stuff you wanted to not look at, it starts to arise. And so you have to have a positive attitude when you're dealing with really hard stuff, in the sense of, I know I can get through this. And it's okay to feel that stuff. It's not bad to feel it. It's releasing it. It's sort of like a pressure cooker. You know, you've got to let it out. And as the body lets it out, the vibration in the body goes higher.
So is it a choice that's made when we have those, the challenges that we've had, the things that may have been done to us or that we've experienced that are holding us down? Is it just a choice? Acknowledge it, let it go, and then you're free to move on and focus in a positive way?
Well, yeah, but when you're going through a healing, sometimes it's a choice. It doesn't mean you wouldn't feel sad, depending
right.
on, mm-hmm. you know, or angry. Mm-hmm. And there's different levels of, you know, like experience of, so when you're coming out of hopelessness and rage are linked.
Mm-hmm.
Helplessness, I mean, and rage. So those feelings start to arise. And if you felt hopeless as a child, then that feeling will arise. And it's just good to know that it's a feeling and it's probably coming from some other place. And in the moment is where your power is. So even though you're having these feelings in the moment, your power is to love that part of you that felt that, bring love to that child, you know, like a lot of inner child work we used to
yes.
do as therapists, you know, bring love to that part of you. Let the feelings, let yourself cry and be held with love and let it go. It's over. And then forgiveness, when you forgive it. You can't really forgive it until it's dissolved or you just stuff it, is what I've
yes.
seen a lot.
Oh,
you
beautiful.
Have the intention.
Beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And when challenged with situations and trying to release those feelings, can a person do things to help them with that, such as meditation, such as being around positive people, finding people that care about them and love them? Any suggestions on that frame?
I think all of that helps. But I think also if it's really hard, it's good to have someone to work with, like a professional who does that kind of work. Because when there's experiences that are based on shame, you know, it's nice, it's very helpful to have another human being help you relinquish that shame.
Yes.
You know, like a lot of the sexual, I worked with sexual abuse a lot because I had a couple of clients who got better when nobody thought they were going to get better, and they were in these battered women's group, and, you know, they were all sexually abused as kids. So, I mean, women's abuse of sexuality is a big topic, but many, many, many men and women, actually men that keep it more hidden, were abused
mm-hmm.
sexually. And so when that comes up, it's an excruciatingly horrible feeling of abandonment and betrayal, and especially if it's a parent, and it's a horrible feeling. So to have someone be with you who you can trust will get you through it.
Yes.
It's really helpful than to feel all alone, because already you're dealing with abandonment. So if you're alone, it's harder. So if you have someone steady working with you through it, if there's any of your listeners who have issues like that.
Yes.
I mean, I think those do require.
I think that would make a big difference to have someone that you can also open up to and really share.
Right, and there's a lot more, yeah.
How you feel.
But
yes.
there's a lot more out there than talk therapy, too. There's mm-hmm. like I didn't even know, and I knew hypnosis, and then there's something called EMDR now, and you can. It helps people reprogram the brain so you don't have to keep going through it and over and over. And it helps you get through the reprogramming of the brainstem and everything much quicker.
That is
so there's a lot of things to look up, you know, if somebody's going through that.
Yes, yes. And while we're on this subject, Lori, will you share with the listeners your website or contact information, how they would be able to contact you if they wanted to work with you?
Yes, but I'm not doing that. I'm not working in that kind of way right now.
Okay.
Anymore.
Okay.
But my website is now, I mean, I can help people a lot, but I do it, I'm not working so much with trauma.
Gotcha.
But my website is www.lovefire.today, or you can also get there by lovefire.org. I used to be Retuned to Joy because people used to call me a psychic tuning fork, because that's really what heals you. You go into the higher vibration, and then the lower vibrations go away. They melt out of you, or they dissipate.
Yes.
But then I had a dream. I had a dream. I had a bad accident in February, and while I was out of it, commission, not fully in commission yet, but I can talk pretty well. Anyway, I had a dream. Lovefire.com. Lovefire, Lovefire. So I thought, okay, I'm getting a clear message. And first I had a little resistance. I didn't know, love fire, what does that mean? But now I kind of understand it. Love is the fire that burns away everything that's not love.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And by the way, to the listeners, if you have not checked out Lori's website, it's absolutely fantastic. I really, really love it. I just love it. So,
well, you know, on my website, there are, there, when I was working with a lot of groups and women, and I still am going to be doing that, but a little bit different way, I used to do retreats, and I would develop these formats, and that really helped the people. So I decided to make recordings of taking people through the journeys I did, and they're on my website, and they're very inexpensive. I mean, I put a lot of effort into them, but I thought, well, I'm just going to get this out for people so that you can reprogram, because you can reprogram your memories with the ones called inner movies, because all you really have of the past is your memory and thoughts and beliefs about it. So the series Inner Movies is meant for reprogramming experiences that happen to you, getting in touch with the inner child and the magical inner child, and connecting. There's some for connecting to the higher self.
And your music CDs are absolutely fantastic, Lori.
Oh, thank you. I did that one because people like the music.
Yes.
See, I tricked myself when I did that. I said, well, instead of just doing this, I'll make my own music. So
yes.
I started to go back and create my own music as a background. And then people said they liked it. So I put a lot. I made that into a CD, Oceans of the Heart, which is meant to take you into a very heart-centered space.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm actually ordering one to, you know, use in my Reiki office. I absolutely
love it. Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's perfect for a Reiki practitioner or massage therapist. Just, I fell in love with it. Beautiful background music.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's what I thought. Massage therapists, people who do healing might like it. Yeah.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, everyone, I'm afraid we have to pop out again for a moment, but Lori and I will be right back. Don't go away. Hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you. If you are just joining us, I am here today with Lori Leah Anna Roth. She is a psychic therapist, licensed marriage family therapist, sound energy light vibration healer, hypnotherapist, workshop facilitator, musician, composer, author, comedic performer, and radio show host, and a hand reader. Oh my gosh, we are having so much fun today. Lori, I just love everything that we've been discussing. You have been just a delight.
Well, thank you. It's very fun talking to you, too.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to delve on the topic of relationships. Let's talk about love and romance and how that's a part of a spiritual journey.
Well, I guess to a certain extent, everything really is part of a spiritual journey because we're always expanding and we're here to learn.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, love, but I have, love is, you know, how people, the thing about romance is, you know, you fall in love and what is that? You know, I remember the time, I mean, I had boyfriends, but then when I fell in love at 19, it was like off the chart. And you know, I could actually have an orgasm sitting next to this man. And what I realized later on, of course, that what that was a connection to my higher self. That he was the first person, because I had been an atheist that shut down, he was a mystic and a poet and all these things, and he was the first person who I met who had that awareness or energy, and I didn't really understand at all, but he, it was with him I had some experiences that I'd never had before of opening up to the world on a much higher level. So that really was the love of myself flowing through me. And I think that when we fall in love, we're feeling that connection to Source. And that's why people say, you know, your love is blind. It is, because you're in this ecstasy of your connection. And it really isn't the other person. Now, if the other person can be in the ecstasy of their connection and you come together, well, that's pretty marvelous. But a lot of times what happens, you fall in love with someone, you get that connection, but all the places where you were wounded by your childhood, you know, they're holding the matching puzzle piece for it.
Yes, yes.
So every place where you were wounded, they will trigger, and you will trigger them. And I think that's one of the reasons why people who fall so much in love often end up in divorce, because nobody understands what happens when you're triggered, and both people have to want to heal the triggers instead of blaming it. You did this to me, and you have to go and be able to talk about it and know that their wounds are coming up and their abandonment. And sometimes, you know, they actually pick the person so that they'll go into therapy and deal with it or heal it. But if a couple really loves each other enough and wants to work on it, if people work on it together, and I know I did a lot of marriage family counseling, they can heal it, because they can choose a way to be different when they hit the pain instead of just lashing out and blaming.
Yes, that's
or shutting off, you know, or whatever.
Yes. So, Lori, would our childhood or our other lifetimes, would that affect us in our love life?
Well, I think, yes, everything affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that doesn't affect something else. I mean, in fact, they're finding that in the whole universe. Everything is interwoven. And like distant healing, when I first started doing distant healing, how could that happen? I'll tell you that story in a bit. But, yes, so the childhood, the other lifetimes, because it's all a conglomeration of energy patterns and templates. Like some people say, and I'm not a scientist, so I don't know this, but even your other lifetimes are genetically encoded, not in the visual part, but there's a lot of strands that are actually less physical. They aren't that physical that can be seen. So some people say there are 12 strands of DNA as we open up instead of just three. They're the non-physical portions. Sort of like the iceberg. You see a little bit of the iceberg, but the rest is hidden. So I think that's true with us. And so so if you're carrying a belief system,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm not good enough, nobody will ever love me, I'm abandoned. Say your father died when you were 7. I had a lot of clients with that. Your father died when you were 7 or 10 or whatever age, and you were the one who was close to him. And you weren't that close to your mother or whatever. And then you're a woman and you're going with a man. You tend to notice maybe that you have a pattern of men leaving or different kinds of patterns where they're not really there for you, or they're going to leave you, or you have a reaction when they go someplace where you're terrified. You know, there's so many different ways that kind of experience can color, depending upon what you made of it. But it's all what you made of it. And so as you understand your thought forms, or you look into your negative thought forms as well as the positive belief system, then you can choose to change them and heal the inner child, or heal the part of you that still buys into that way of being.
Yes.
That's what those CDs were for, because we, you know, most of us are not raised in the happiest family. There are some who are, And in fact, bonding, you know, there's a when you're a baby, you have many more neurons in your brain. And what the scientists have found out, and Dan Siegel, who's done a lot of work on bonding and a lot of neuro research, there's a lot of other neuro researchers around, is that when your brain fires, the neurons that fire together wire together. So it creates pathways in the brain that your brain is always going to those pathways. So people say, well, it's easy to say thinking of thoughts, but my brain keeps going there. And that's true. You've got to make a whole new roadmap for it. You know, what's interesting about that is that once I did a group where I actually saw all the stuff in people's brains.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like they invited me. It was a green party group, and I'd done hand reading at one of their parties, and they invited me to come back and do something, so I did it. And they said, we don't want hand reading, do something else. So I didn't really know what I was going to do. A friend of mine I had invited to play the music. And then all of a sudden, as we were doing different things, I saw all this, like, it looked like steel wool in people's brains. And I didn't know what it was. It was a psychic image. So I said, I'm seeing all this stuff in your brains. If you don't want it in there, it doesn't look good, raise your hand and we'll take it out. So everybody raised their hands, I think, except maybe one person. And I should have included myself, but I wasn't seeing my own brain. And I put my hands out. You know, there were my light body hands around it. And it wasn't me, Lori, who did it. It was the forces through me. And then I lifted them up. And all this stuff, what it looked like, you know, from my inner eye, was all this steel wool, all these, like, convoluted wires. It looked like a lot of wires coming out of everybody's brain, and they were floating on the ceiling.
Oh my gosh, Lori.
And I did not know what to do. But what was really funny was I said, they're floating on the ceiling. Everybody looked up and they could see them. And then I said, okay, angels, take it away. And eventually they cleared off.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I didn't know what that was, and I hoped it was good. And then a month later, I was talking to the person who invited me there. He said, you know, then within a week after that thing you did, people dropped out of school, broke up with their boyfriends, went back to school, went to new places, moved. People made dramatic changes. Now, I wish that was an ability I could just have all the time, but mm-hmm. it sort of showed me the wiring
yes.
of the brain. You
yes.
know. And then later when I started reading this research about it, I recognized what has happened and what was happening.
Yes.
So
would you say, you know, the energy, the wiring of the brain, you know, what we come into this lifetime with, we can in this lifetime work on releasing things if we have a bad relationship, we can bring a positive relationship into our lives that can be made. I saw that happen many times.
Yes. People can. And we don't come into it with that wiring. That's created by how you react to your parents. Like if you have, there's all these things. If you want to read about it, go to his site because he's written books about it. Because if you go to a parent who's supposed to be nurturing, but there's fear and the person isn't nurturing but scary, there's the brain gets scrambled. And there's different names for disorganized bonding. There's all kinds of names. So those bonding patterns are going to affect what happens when you're in a romantic relationship.
Wow.
You're bonding to the other person, especially when you're young, you know, you're bonding.
And there can be times, would you say, situations where there's one parent that is completely different than the other parent. So you get this certain kind of treatment from one parent and an opposite treatment and caring from a different parent.
Yes, and that creates, you know, crazy wiring, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That can happen, and it'll affect, you know, the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
it affects everything, but the good news is you have the power to change it.
Yes, and really.
And other lifetimes, too, because you kind of come in with some, like the way you even react, like, you know, how siblings don't necessarily react to the parents in the same way because they come in with pre-contained formats. to some extent from their other lifetimes, if they've had other lifetimes on the planet, you know.
And isn't that exciting, Lori, that we do have the power to make the changes? We have the power to control our lives. You know, I really believe love is the ultimate power. I personally,
well, love is
that's
the
my belief.
Yeah, I agree. It's the power that holds the universe together.
And that's a
I
positive.
Think,
yes.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's changing on the planet. This planet can't handle this abuse of power over anymore. It's like, got to stop.
Yeah. And I have to ask, because that really intrigued me. We just have a few minutes left in the show, but you mentioned that NASA is, you know, reading the energy shift of the planet. That is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and you can go on NASA to see when the solar flares are coming. And solar flares affect us. They affect the emotional field. Like sometimes when there's this, like I didn't, you know, I thought a lot of this stuff about the light coming in, you know, I thought it was just spiritual. But then I started looking at the NASA, and I heard it was connected. There's many more solar flares, but there's also a higher radiance now, even without the flares. That was the newest thing I found. So when the energy from the sun comes in as radiance, it's a vibration of light. And if it's a higher vibration of light, it affects our energy field. And so as it comes in, like I used to suddenly, like all of a sudden I have these days of ecstasy, you know, what's going on? And then I started realizing it was related to the solar flares.
Wow.
So I started checking it. You know, it's not just woo-woo. It's actually related to events that are happening because even the laws of physics change because in different dimensions, there are different laws. Like in the fifth dimension, your thoughts create very fast. And in the fifth dimension, you can't get there really until you've let go of all the templates. And I've had moments of stepping into it. Like we start, you know, as we're going to a new place, you have a moment or an experience. You get the carrot, and then you have to do the work to get you there.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
A lot of us are going through that now.
This is just so fun. We have just a couple moments left of the show. What last words or inspiration would you like to share with the listeners today?
Well, I think the thing is the key point at this time of the world and yourself or everybody is to tune into love, like even just putting your hands on your heart and breathing in and you can feel whatever it is, the energy. You could call in the Divine Mother. You could call in Mother Mary. You could call in Kuan Yin. You could call in some aspect of the Divine Feminine because this love that's coming in now, is a lot of it is the balance, the masculine and feminine. But the feminine love has not been been separated and pushed down. And so it's the coming back of the Divine Feminine at this time is what I would call it. And so just put your hand over your heart and just feel unconditional love. I mean, how much do we really experience that from other people? Totally unconditional love. And allow your heart to feel that and open it. And that is one of the key things that when things are hard to just stop and put your hands on your heart and say, I have the power, no matter what's going on, to love myself at this moment.
Yes.
And then breathe in love and let love fill your body and your cells with each breath.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Lori, this has just been such a great show. I am just so happy to have connected with you.
Yes, it's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Yes, yes. We could share stories all day long.
Yeah, we had a lot of stories. I haven't heard a lot of yours. Yeah, I'd love to hear some of yours, like how you got into Reiki.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it was love of a pet. I had a white German Shepherd that owned my heart. I still think of her every day. But she was 14. She was ill, had a tumor. And someone said to me, you should learn Reiki. And I had been a longtime restaurant manager, owner, and I'd never heard of Reiki. And so I learned it. I had her 2 more years, and I fell in love with it. It opened such a door. It's life-changing, in my opinion. Yes.
Well, it is. It's like I never did Reiki, but I had those spontaneous initiations where energy would flow through me, and I would move through the whole field. And it's all energy. Reiki is just, I think, a name of universal energy.
Yep.
That flows through you. So when you allow the universal energy to flow through you, that feels like love, because that's what it is.
Yes. And, you know, when you realize that we are all energetically connected, we are all connected, and we're connected with the planet, we're connected with Source. How can you have anger and hatred to someone when really you're connected to them? You know, when you realize how connected we are, it really does change your mindset.
Yes, but it's a different way of thinking. It's thinking with the part of the mind that's connected to Source, or thinking with the ego mind.
Yeah.
And learning how to manage between them, and how to be aware when your ego is making you, it's like your ego attacks you, sort of. So,
yep.
So to know when that's happening and know that there's a way out.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Lori. Oh, I could go on and on, but we have to say goodbye.
Thank you for that. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Lori. And a big thank you to the listeners out there in the U.S. and around the world. Love, hugs, and blessings, and a happy day to everyone.
Kiss goodbye.